Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering the show. Together, we welcome you to Buckmaster on this Tuesday, January 19th, 2016. They're saying that the snowstorm that's headed for New York City and Washington could be of historic proportions. Why is it every winter there seems to be some storm that is billed as one of historic proportions? But whether or not it's a big storm and how big, who knows? But the good news is all of those people will be dreaming of 70 degree weather out in Tucson, Arizona. Could give us a nice tourism boost this winter. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Got our podcasts and really the archive of all of our programs available 24/7 at buckmastershow.com. We're going to begin with the year of the 100th anniversary of the National Park Service. It is the centennial year for our gems of the park system. And 20 minutes past the hour, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman giving me a very small, very small thumbs up. Oh, excuse me. Change that to a thumbs down. After a good start to the market, that it looked like maybe the market be pulling up as much as 150, 200 points. Right now we're down almost 20 points. But anyway, who knows what will happen by the time Shelley is with us in about 15 minutes. At 12:30, Michelle Crow joins us. Michelle is the Southern Arizona Director of the Children's Action Alliance, that group trying very hard to get something called Kids Care reestablished in Arizona. We'll tell you why that is so important. Then we'll close out the show with Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, the one-time Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. He's now one of two dozen contributors to this program. He's our education contributor. So as usual, it is a full hour loaded with content. 790-2040 is our live line number. And that's the number for comments and suggestions, so give us a call there. The Facebook page is under my name, Bill Buckmaster, and you can follow us on Twitter at Buckmaster Show. Well, President Woodrow Wilson signed a bill creating the National Park Service on August 25th, 1916, as the agency's 100th birthday. It's nearing later this year. Arizonans should be particularly interested because our state contains four national parks and 22 national monuments, memorials, recreation areas, and historic sites. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Kevin Dahl is with us. Kevin is the Arizona Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association, which is the only independent membership organization that is exclusively devoted to advocacy on behalf of the national park system. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great this afternoon, Bill. Thanks.
You know, this is, you could probably win a trivia contest if someone said, well, how many parks and monuments do we have here in Arizona? And of course, Grand Canyon would come to mind. And people may say, oh, probably a half a dozen or so. We are really rich in parks, aren't we?
We are. The Southwest in general, and beyond that, the West in general, has these wonderful landscape national parks. And in Arizona, we also have these archaeological sites that help us remember the people who lived here before us.
How are we doing with attendance in our parks here in Arizona?
Well, in the last fiscal year, attendance is way up. And it's hard to say exactly why. Of course, gasoline prices are down. I think we began celebrating the centennial last year in August, celebrating the whole year of the centennial. And I think the parks have gotten a lot of play in the media. Grand Canyon, of course, continues to be an international attraction, and Tucson tourists visit Saguaro National Park on both sides of our beautiful fair city. So we have a lot to offer people coming to visit these parks.
How is Saguaro doing? You mentioned attendance looks pretty good, but there's encroachment, certainly issues there, is there not?
There are, and this is something I tell people all the time. We think the parks are well protected, and they are very well protected, but they're not completely protected. People have ideas to do things in or near beside the parks that will impact the natural beauty, the natural resources, the cultural values that we're trying to protect there. And Saguaro has this urban interface on both the east and west unit, where there are proposals that will impact scenic views, wildlife movement, and other values that we hold dear at Saguaro National Park. So my organization and others here in Tucson are continually dealing with issues around Saguaro National Park, to say nothing of invasive buffle grass. You know, next Saturday is Beat Back Buffle Grass Day, and people at Saguaro Park National Park and throughout the community will be helping to eradicate. You know, it's not just a bad weed. It takes over and it produces a fire regime, and we'll lose our cactus. We'll lose our Sonoran Desert and change it into a grassland if we let that invader continue.
How did buffle grass wind up here in Arizona?
Well, it was brought in from the south. It is an excellent feed for cattle, and it grows real successfully in arid conditions. It comes from Africa. So it was imported for a purpose, but it's just spread like wildfire. And by the way, it burns very hot. If you have buffle grass around your house, everybody recommends get rid of it because it will burn very hot and take you out.
What are the, as you look at this centennial year, what are the big challenges facing the National Park Service?
Well, number one, and this is kind of a wonky point, is that we're not funding them adequately. We've built up a huge backlog of projects that need to be done to maintain water and sewer systems, historic buildings. We're not funding them at adequate levels to maintain the service that we expect. When we go to a park, we expect the visitor center to be open and there be interpretive programs for our children. So it's a very small part of our federal budget, our American budget, but it's something that Americans, more than 90% agree that we should fully fund our national park. So that's one thing that we face. The other thing we face is all these invasive threats, the air pollution. Even here in Tucson, the air pollution is affecting the vegetation at Saguaro, and we need to get a handle on threats like that.
Speaking with Kevin Dahl, he is the Arizona Program Manager for the National Parks Conservation Association. You know, about 5 years ago, we had that terrible freeze, 5 or 6 years ago, where the temperature didn't even get above, I think it barely made it. It may not have even reached 32 degrees on a day. I think it was in late January. Did that impact the Saguaro? Have we seen any impact from that, Kevin?
You know, we continue to see impacts to saguaros, and it is the temperature that seems to be the deciding factor. They need that they can't survive freezing for a certain number of hours. But you know, fortunately, nature is really resilient, and the Park Service, part of their mission is to monitor the resources, and they've been doing excellent work monitoring saguaros. And we had some historic impacts from grazing back when cows were allowed on the park. On these park lands before they were parks, and the saguaros have recovered over time from that. And we seem to see recruitment years when conditions are incredibly good for saguaros to come in. So we still do have pretty healthy populations at saguaro. And by the way, that monitoring is also done by students and citizen scientists. And I encourage your listeners to think about in the centennial year getting involved as a volunteer at the parks. So, at saguaro, there's over 500 volunteers that produce more than $1 million worth of effort in their time that they volunteer to the park. It's really incredible. The other good thing I want to get in here before I have to leave is that this year, fourth graders can get free passes to all the parks for their family for a year.
So really?
We need to get kids, we need to get underserved populations, and we need to get diversity in the parks, and those are all things that the Park Service and others are trying to do this year. So any fourth grader can go online, take a simple test, print out a piece of paper, and take it to Saguaro or any other federal land that requires a fee, like Sabino Canyon, and they'll get a park pass, which is normally worth $80, so that they and their family can visit the parks.
And for those of us who are of a certain age, there's a fantastic buy for seniors.
It's an incredible buy, and every senior I talk to says it's too cheap. It's $10.
$10.
For the rest of your life.
And, yeah.
And Congress is considering some centennial funding packages that might increase that fee a little bit, that one-time fee, or maybe make it an annual fee.
Are all of these national, I've got the full list here in front of me, the 22 National Park Service sites, are they funded and are they staffed every day?
There's only one in Arizona, the Jojoca Pima National Monument, that's actually off-limits to people and has no staff. All the other ones do have staff and visitor centers. Now, there are other national monuments that aren't managed by the Park Service, like Ironwood National Monument. They have management and law enforcement staff, but they don't have a visitor center or interpretive staff. But great places in southern Arizona to go that your listeners may not have thought of recently: Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument to the west, mm-hmm. Chiricahua National Monument to the east, the really undervisited Fort Bowie National Historic Site, which is an important part in our history of in the Apache Wars, and also the Civil War, in fact. And it's one of those great parks where you don't drive to the visitor center. You have to park and walk backwards through time across the landscape till you get to the ruins of Fort Bowie. It's a great experience.
And Tumacacori National Historic Park is a great place to take out-of-town visitors. I always try to drop off the visitors, let them look at San Javier, and then go down to Tumacacori, and they get a real nice feel of old Arizona.
They have great interpretive programs there, sometimes living history. Last time I was there, they were making fresh tortillas, which people who are visiting from out of state had never eaten a fresh tortilla. And it also has part of the Santa Cruz River, where you can see some fantastic birds and other wildlife.
Well, we are blessed to have wonderful parks here in Arizona. What about your organization? Where can people find out more?
It's pretty simple. Our website are our initials, so it's npca.org.
That's for National Parks Conservation Association. Kevin Dahl, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, 12:16 on The Buckmaster Show. We'll talk financial matters with Shelley Fishman. Shelley will be coming up right after we take our first break on this Tuesday afternoon in Tucson, Arizona. Back right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome now Shelley Fishman to the Buckmaster Show. And Shelley, the day started off pretty good for the market. And just in the last few minutes, guess what?
Well, they realized it was Tuesday. They thought it was Monday because the markets were closed yesterday.
Oh.
And as soon as they recognized it was Tuesday and that you and I were going to be talking on this program, the markets did what the markets do on Tuesdays.
And they go into the red.
They went into the red.
How bad?
Yeah, about 45 points right now on the Dow. And about the same on the NASDAQ, which, of course, is the higher percentage because it's a lower index number. There's just tremendous uncertainty out there and lots of pressure during this time of uncertainty and real negativism. I mean, you just hear so many negative comments from politicians,
et cetera,
on the state of our economy, which, of course, is nonsense. The economy is not great, but it's doing awfully well. And you just hear these apocalyptic statements, and I think it's creating a mood of gloom and doom. I'd hate to think we're going to go through another 11 months of this. But, you know, I suppose it could be.
Well, are we in correction territory?
Just about.
And we've had how many corrections?
Well, we've
recent years, maybe a couple?
Where
it has to go down below
10%. 10% more. I think the last one was in 12.
Okay.
Though we've had some very volatile years. I mean, you and I have discussed the same question, are we in correction territory, several times over the past 4 or 5 years. We were at around 8% on the Dow and the S&P as of this morning. Mm-hmm. So now we're, you know, looks like tenths of a percent more than that. But you know, there's nothing sacred about the idea that a correction is only a correction when it reaches a 10% mark. Clearly, the mood right now is one of concern for the earning ability of companies in an economy where manufacturing is under pressure from the high dollar, where the rest of the world economy, especially where we had seen a lot of growth in the past in emerging markets, that seems to have flattened out. And nobody understands what the impact of oil at $20, $25 a barrel is going to be. Not that we haven't seen $25 a barrel oil before, we have, but we've not seen oil go from close to $150 a barrel down to $25 a barrel in what is really a relatively short period of time. So the effects on the economy that is in an increasing sense very tied into the rest of the world is, I think, a subject of concern for the markets. And I don't know where this is going. I know that you really do need to kind of sit through it because I know in my heart, and if you're a student of markets over the past 70, 80, 90 years, you know this is going to recover. But if if you're an investor, especially if you're an investor that's been heavily invested in equities because you've begun to take more risk into your portfolio over the past year or two, you know, you look at it and you go, oh my gosh, what's going on?
Well, people are very concerned too. You know, if the market is every day going to look at the oil prices and they keep going down, 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 and we, you know, reports are now coming in from, I think it's Michigan, where prices for at the pump are now below $1 a gallon. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, the good news, gas prices are down, but the bad news, all commodities are down, and that includes the stuff that we sell, because mm-hmm. we do sell a lot of food products and a lot of other commodities. So that cuts into the profit-making abilities of our corporations that are dependent upon selling those commodities. But it also has a secondary effect on those corporations that manufacture the machinery that allows companies that sell commodities to harvest or in other ways process those commodities. So, you know, the companies that were doing very, very well a couple of years ago and were enjoying a boom, and as an example, Caterpillar or Deere, are now having trouble selling their machinery to other countries because those countries aren't in buying moods right now at a time when foodstuffs and other stuff that you harvest from the ground, and that includes metals and oil, are so priced at such a low point.
I'm surprised the dollar and the euro aren't at parity right now. The euro continues to be a bit over $1, $1.08, $1.09.
Yeah, the propensity of the euro to want to reduce in its value against the dollar is a little bit surprising, because after all, the European economies have done much better, not than the U.S. economy, but much better than they had been doing over the past couple of months. But the euro is still priced at rates that are far lower than they were even a couple of years ago.
What are you telling investors? And I know you're getting calls from very nervous investors.
Well, what I'm telling investors is that this is a correction, that we're almost certainly going to ride through it, and that the last thing you want to be doing is chasing the curve. So for those investors who are younger and a little bit allocated a little bit more aggressively, you know, I say hold your breath and don't look at your statements every morning. For those investors who are more into fixed income and bonds, you haven't been hit as badly, but you've been hit. Mm-hmm. And so, again, this is not the time to harvest losses. This is the time to sit. Dividends are about where they were. The bond funds that I track, both in terms of high yield, medium yield, those bond funds that track the overall bond markets, and those that track the treasury markets, those funds are still paying the dividends that they've been paying for the past several years. So in some sense, this could be viewed as an opportunity to buy, though, you know, clearly you want to wait for a bottom. I'm not sure we're there yet.
Well, that's what everyone's waiting for, the bottom.
And right.
What's it going to take? I think that's the question right now. What is it going to take?
I don't know. I think what we're waiting for is some positive sign from the Chinese that they're going to stabilize the yuan and that they're going to continue to stimulate their economy, because the latest word on the Chinese economy was it came in a little bit lower than forecast, and there was a hope this morning, for mm-hmm. instance, mm-hmm. that would motivate the Chinese managers of their economy, and it is a managed economy, to provide some stimulus, but that does not seem to have been forthcoming today.
And people, the Chinese economy, we are so tied to that. I mean, it's been so evident here in the last couple
absolutely,
of days.
Bill. And that's something that is, again, it is not a new phenomenon, but the strength of those ties and the immediacy of the way our markets react to the way overseas markets react is something new, I think. And because it's in the news all the time, the average investor sees more and more of it. Our markets are not officially in correction, but the Chinese markets certainly are. And that has effects around the world. And then there's also geopolitical stuff going on, you know, in the South China Sea and what's going on in Korea. There's a lot of uncertainty around the whole Asian perimeter right now, or the Pacific perimeter, that gives, again, if you're looking for steadiness and predictability, this ain't the time for it.
No, it's not. Shelley Fishman, thank you very much. People can find out more about you, and folks would like to talk to a financial advisor who is certified and would be more than happy to talk with people the best way.
Just go to buckmastershow.com and hit the link to my website and just say you want to talk to me, or just call me at 940-0884.
Thank you, Shelley.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great week.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is an LPL Financial planner. Shelley can be reached at 520-940-0884 or at his website, shelleyfishman.com. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday as we talk with the Buckmaster contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes. She's the executive director of the UA-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Buckmaster live noon to 1 on Tucson's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, with live streaming podcasts and our archive at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday afternoon as we push toward 12:35. Well, Arizona is the only state in the United States that does not have an active children's health insurance program. In Arizona, our children's health insurance program is called Kids Care, and it was frozen in 2010, a result of all those major state budget cuts, and Arizona has never reestablished it. Well, that is priority number one for the Arizona Children's Action Alliance, and Michelle Crow is the Southern Arizona Director of the CAA. Michelle, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me here today, Bill.
This is confusing. This children's health insurance program, it's commonly referred to as, the acronym is CHIP.
CHIP, that's right. Yeah. And as you mentioned, Arizona is the only state in the country that does not have an active CHIP program. Arizona has about 160,000 uninsured kids, and I don't know about you, but to me, that number sounds doable if we really, you know, put our intentions towards it in terms of insuring those kids. Overall, the uninsured rates for kids has been going down nationwide and also within Arizona. Overall, although in Arizona has always lagged behind the nation in terms of the number of kids that are uninsured, but there is a particular group of kids where you'll see this if you dig into the data a little bit, that is a particular notch group that is not being covered. And that's the group of children that are kids of working families, generally between 138% federal poverty level and 200% federal poverty level. So it's a group of families that basically are not poor enough to qualify for our state Medicaid program, but yet don't make enough money to purchase health insurance on the private public marketplace. And so it becomes a real issue for these kids to be able to access the program.
And I was just going to say that there was a piece in the Star today from Howard Fisher about Governor Ducey's budget, winners and losers. And so far, the separate kids care program, which we just mentioned, covers children up to double the poverty level or close to $41,000 a year,
right,
is not included in the budget. Now, how much money would we be talking about to include this in the budget?
Well, so here's what's really...
It's kind of confusing.
It is a little bit confusing. So let me give you a little bit of background. Because in the past, kids care was financed very heavily by the federal government. It's a long time supported program, bipartisan supported program, and it was funded heavily with a 3-to-1 match. So for every $3 the feds put in, the state had to put in a dollar. And in the budget crunch during the recession, as a cost saving measure, they froze the kids care enrollment. And so it's now dwindled down to just a few hundred kids that are still on the kids care program. Most recently, in the fall of 2015, Congress reauthorized this program under MACRA, and they have, as an incentive to the states, or probably most likely as an incentive to the one state that has not yet reinstated Kids Care, Arizona, is going to be paying 100% of the costs of the program. And so really it's a matter of spending these federal dollars and not state dollars.
So it wouldn't even cost us anything?
It would not cost us any dollars. That's right. That's correct. And it's a real opportunity. That's why it's our number one policy priority right now, because we really see this as the window to really impact this very particular group of kids, get them enrolled in health care coverage, get all those immunizations and early screenings and prevention programs. It's also an early warning detection system in times of noticing if you know, something isn't right in the family in terms of neglect or abuse. It's very particularly designed for kids' needs.
And you do a lot up at the Children's Action Alliance. You really are watching out for kids' welfare. You actually have a scorecard of how our state lawmakers fare in terms of issues that affect kids.
We do. Children's Action Alliance has been an independent voice for Arizona's children for over 25 years. The issues that we primarily focus on advocating for better policies are children's health, education, and security. And so we do a number of things. We're very much a research-based public policy organization. So if you're looking for information on any type of kids trend or issue, you can log on to our website and find our policy briefs on any one of those areas. And we, in partnership with the Casey Foundation, for example, we publish what's called the Kids Count data book.
That's an annual survey, right?
It's an annual survey that really just looks at the data in terms of how are kids faring in the state of Arizona. Are they faring differently county by county? And we also do a national report as well, too. So it looks at how are kids faring in Arizona versus other states. And that really helps us kind of look into some best practices in terms of what's working well for some states and what could, you know, move the needle better here in Arizona to improve some of these indicators for children's health, education, and safety.
As I recall, that report usually finds Arizona in the lower 5% or so.
We have not fared too well.
No, in the top 50, we're usually somewhere around 45th to 50, I think.
We are. We're usually in the bottom in terms of children's health and education support.
You know, getting back to this children's health insurance program and the kids care, the window of opportunity is closing quickly, isn't it?
Well, I don't know that it's closing quickly. It just seems it's a window of opportunity. I mean, we would need to establish it in this legislative session.
Yes.
So there is that window of opportunity. We're still feeling very positive. We've had really good conversations, our coalition, our Kids Care Coalition group, with the governor's office. And as I mentioned, you know, this is an opportunity to bring close to about 30,000 kids back into being covered by health insurance programs at no cost whatsoever to the state budget. So we're feeling very hopeful that we can get this through. We have a piece of legislation being sponsored by Begay and Cobb that's running through the legislature right now. And so we're hoping that we can get this done.
So if we don't reestablish the program, Michelle Crow, it means that our federal dollars are really paying for health care for children in other states.
It does. It's a point I like to point out to
you
people.
If we don't use it, we're going to lose it.
That's right. That you and I are taxed at a federal rate based on whatever our income is. And so those dollars go up to the federal government.
Yeah.
I can guarantee you if Arizona won't take the dollars, another state will, because so we really are paying for, you know, health care for kids in Ohio or Kansas. So it doesn't make a lot of sense for us not to just go ahead and take this opportunity to cover kids in Arizona today.
All right, let's quickly grab a call here on the live line. Matthew, you're with Michelle Crow.
Yeah, Michelle, first of all, thank you for what Children's Action Alliance does. I mean, it's there on every issue that affects the kids. But I am going to warn you that and warn Bill's viewers that unfortunately Arizona is not a guarantee that they will accept the money, because the governor has an ideological bent to not accept monies from the federal government if it in any way has any requirements and involves things that he thinks might unintentionally not be ideologically in his favor. Not that he's a bad person, it's just that it's not just with this. And I would encourage you to seriously hire a professional a lobbyist group. I know you guys are a professional lobbyist group, but you have got to partner with the business community. And believe it or not, the business community right now is fighting with the governor's office for the Arizona Commerce Authority, things that are no-brainers. I know it seems absolutely insane, but the governor's office is broken at this point. The governor has completely dismantled his staff. Anybody who challenges him on the ideological things, he immediately replaces. Okay. You cannot afford to take this one. Like the government, the federal government's willing to give us the money. Arizona's no-brainer to take it. It ain't going to happen that way. You have got to hire professional lobbyists. You've got to partner with the business community, and you have to force the governor in some way conciliatory, because you can't, anytime you challenge him openly, he gets mad and he just...
Okay. All right, Matthew, I'm sorry we had to kind of cut you off there, because I'm really out of time, but Matthew brings up a point that it will take some lobbying, Michelle Crow.
Well, I agree that it'll take a little bit of lobbying, but we also have a very strong Kids Care Coalition. And if any of the listeners out there or the organizations out there are interested in joining our Kids Care Coalition, I would encourage them to contact us, because we really are getting geared up here. And particularly members of the business community that are interested in joining the coalition, we have good support from the business community. They've recognized that Kids Care has been shown to spur entrepreneurship, because it really allows parents to go and work, and it also helps Arizona's economy prosper as well too. It also helps the education community as well too. I mean, all these issues are interrelated so much so, in the sense that kids that are sick, they don't learn when they're at school.
That's,
and they get
sure.
behind, right? So this all interrelates.
All right, Michelle, we're going to have to run. People can find out more about Children's Action Alliance on your website.
They can. Our website is www.azchildren.org. And if you don't mind, I'd really like to just say that if anybody's interested in learning more about the budget issues, we actually have a workshop coming up for parents and grandparents and child advocates on January 28th and 29th. And so you can reach me at 329-4930 if you want to sign up to come to either of those budget advocacy workshops and learn more about what's happening at our state legislature.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Bill.
Michelle Crow with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to take a break right here, and Dr. Robert Hendricks comes along talking about education, which of course involves, well, we learn every day, but education normally involves younger people. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. To the Buckmaster Show. This portion of Buckmaster is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great places to stay over there, and it's only 3 hours east of Tucson. Places like Casitas de Gila Guest Houses, Continental Divide RV Park, Fayetteville Hot Springs Resort, and Georgetown Cabins, to name a few. Their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, has the listing of all the places to stay and the many things to do. So much to do in that area, including experience the solitude of the Gila, the nation's first wilderness. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, one of two dozen regular contributors to the Buckmaster Show. He is our education contributor, associate professor emeritus at the UA College of Education. He's the former superintendent of the Flowing Well School District. He was named Arizona's top superintendent of schools in 1989. He actually has a school name for him in the Flowing Wells School District. That's appropriately enough for the place where it should be named. Yes. For you, right?
Yes.
You just finished reading a book, Why Boys Fail? Yeah,
yes, it's a really interesting book by Whitmire.
Okay.
Richard Whitmire, who addresses a segment of the population that we don't talk about a lot, and that's a group of young white males. Mm-hmm. who he describes as having high school degrees, who are very frustrated and very angry in today's environment, because essentially college is the new high school. Mm-hmm. And employers are, you know, seeking individuals who have a little bit more than a high school education, if for no other reason that they have assumably better social or communication skills. So this group of boys, you know, that are distributed in many cases in rural areas of the United States, are angry and they're frustrated. And the interesting correlation is that Whitmire says that if you look closely, you'll find a lot of these folks are the people who are supporting presidential candidate hopeful Donald Trump.
Huh, interesting. What's the author? Did he offer any kind of solutions? Obviously, these people feel they've been disenfranchised and that they have no voice and really very few alternatives, right?
Very few alternatives.
And so they apparently they can't go on to college for whatever reason. Maybe
for whatever reason. And I think he also postulates that schools have essentially failed these young people, that we need to think about other ways to get them more invested in the system, But nevertheless, also think about high school as not simply a terminal degree or a terminal experience for young people. And we've talked for many, many years about African American youth and how we need to connect them. But we don't hear a lot of talk about white males. And this is another segment, I think, that perhaps has been forgotten, or as Whitmire calls the invisible forgotten, walking against the wind.
790-2040 is our live line number if you'd like to join in the conversation, have any thoughts about that. Also, teachers take a big hit when it comes to people when they talk about teachers' unions. Rightly or wrongly, a lot of the teachers' unions, I think, Dr. Hendricks, get blamed for some of the ills of our educational system. When there was an editorial in the Wall, it was USA Today, actually, saying that there are good reasons to turn down the California teachers who had asked the Supreme Court to let them stop paying union dues.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation that came out of this California case, if the Supreme Court decides to hear it. But essentially what these teachers are saying is that they don't feel that it should be mandated that they pay into the Teachers Association or union, however you prefer to call it. But in California, it is mandated. And essentially, teachers are paying up to $1,000 a year for their local, their state, and federal dues. And the largest organization is the National Education Association, which is where most California teachers are affiliated. And so they feel like the political action in particular of these unions aren't necessarily reflective of what they believe. And, not only the PAC groups, the political action committees, but, the stand on tenure, the litigation cases that the association has taken on, and other issues which they feel like they may necessarily not buy into, but have to finance due to this requirement. Now, California is a collective bargaining state, so we don't quite have the same situation here in Arizona, because we are not affiliated with collective bargaining. So teachers can choose to join the association or not. But I think the reality is, if you look at it nationwide, Bill, the membership in associations is dwindling. And we can see where, among other reasons, the association would really want to take a very firm stand against anyone wanting to dismantle any kind of mandatory membership. And so unhappy members are really hoping that that they can, unite in this front and get the Supreme Court to rule against required membership.
How about how strong are members in Arizona that teachers? Is it kind of 50-50 on who joins here?
It's hard to find published numbers,
uh-huh.
But it's my understanding that the numbers are less than 50%. At one time, they were much stronger. And, the typical configuration is that you just can't belong to the local affiliate, that you must pay for the whole package, which would be the local, the state, and the national.
All right. Before I wrap it up with you, there is opposition that's growing to the Proposition 123, the vote that's coming up in May.
Yes, yes.
In fact, I just booked the gentleman who is leading that group is going to be on the show, so it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say. But that is not a done deal.
No, it's not a done deal. And I think there is a hopeful promise on those people who support it that it's a quick fix to get a large amount of money. But even when you look at that large amount of money in terms of how the state has suffered financially over a period of time, there's still a lot to be made up there.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you very much for being with us. We've already scheduled you for your February appointment, so we'll look forward to seeing and hearing from you then. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we have 6 hours a day here Monday through Friday of local talk. No other radio station in Tucson does as much local talk as we do. Well, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., half of that is local talk. And we do it right here on KVOI, 4 to 5 this afternoon. This is our 4 Tucson at 4 show with Mike Shaw, Ray Allen on the other side of the glass as well. For that program, then 4 hours of talk in the morning, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8, the Daily Double. That's Chris DeSimone and a different guest host every day from 8 to 9. Then Sean McCluskey does his new show called Talk of the Town. And then I'm back here almost 23 hours from right now, 12:04, with our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, and Ray Allen will be with me for that as well. And tomorrow on the show, we have Dr. Victoria Mazes from the Center for Integrative Medicine, also Paul Cunningham, City Councilman. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.